Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for joining me this afternoon. Chuck Morse, podcaster and author. I'm joined by Doug Giles. He's the founder and editor of ClashDaily.com. He's a terror consultant. He's the author of the new book, Pussification, The Effeminization of the American Male. In this, he describes pussification, the act or process of a man being shamed, taught, led, pastored, drugged, or otherwise coerced or cajoled into throwing out his brain, handing over his balls, and formally abandoning the rarefied air of the testosterone leader fog that God and nature hardwired into him, and instead became a weak, effeminate, mantra-sporting, shriveled-up pussy. Doug, thanks for joining me.
Hey, Chuck. How you doing, buddy?
Good. Listen, your book, first of all, the thing that strikes me right off the bat is your reference, and you're as I said, an expert on studying terrorism. Of the Islamic terrorists, the people that recently struck in New York and New Jersey and Minnesota, as being pussified, as being somehow effeminate. And conventional wisdom would tell me that these guys actually might be suffering from an overdose of machismo. So how do you?
I never said that the Islamic terrorists are pussified. I don't know where you got that, buddy.
Oh, okay. It's this most recent press release. But
okay. I would say our response to Islamic terrorism is heavily pussified from Obama, who won't even label it as hailing from Islam, and everybody and their dog understands that a cyclops, Chuck, looking into the sun can see this is from Islam. I mean, the guy in St. Cloud, Minnesota, he called himself a soldier of the Islamic State, and then you're seeing the Rahami, or however you pronounce his name, the dude who tried to kill people in New York this past week, and New Jersey. He's got multiple posts via Facebook and other places where he colludes directly with the Islamic State. And yet the press, CNN, you look at some of the police chiefs, man, and in Minnesota, I think Minneapolis today said that because we persecute Islam so much, that's the reason why that Somali soldier of the Islamic State went on a knife rampage. I think the media's pussification, I think Obama's refusal to call it Islamic terrorism, I think it's deadly. You see it over in France, you see it in Germany, you see it in Belgium. All of Western Europe has curled up in a fetal position and wet their big politically incorrect or their politically correct diaper. And that's to me, that is a humongous sign of pussification, and it's deadly.
You know, it particularly boils my blood to hear you talk about the police commissioner basically blaming the United States for the attack on us. It's like blaming the Jews for the Holocaust. This is this even goes beyond the issue of pussification, which I totally agree with you about. This is an issue of this is how the left used to defend communism too. It's the West's fault. It's the United States' fault because we're successful. We should be ashamed of ourselves because of our ability to enjoy success because we're free, and that's why these countries are violent, or that's why they're poor. And it's a mindset that is completely contrary, as you point out in your most recent press release, to what went on, for example, during World War II, when we had no problem. I mean, President Franklin Roosevelt had no problem identifying the Nazis for what they were, the Japanese for what they were, especially after Pearl Harbor. You know, we had no problem discussing Stalin. You know, this is and we weren't nice about it. You know, we didn't sit around and wiggle our toes in front of a campfire and sing songs. You know, we went in and we kicked their ass. You know, this kind of mamby-pamby, I mean, it's emboldening these terrorists, clearly.
Yeah, and that's pussification in a nutshell. Anytime the thought police come in and they start mitigating speech, especially in regards to perennial implacable threat like radical Islam. Man, we've got a pussification problem on our hands. Just like you said, we didn't mince words when it came to Nazis or Stalin thugs or Japan's BS. But when it comes to Islam, and they're the only threat now to the U.S. And anybody who thinks otherwise truly is not the coldest beer in the fridge. We can't even draw cartoons about them, Chuck, without us being, you know, haters and racist. In the UK, if girls wear bikinis where there might be Muslim women, then they're forbidden to do that because it's in Islamically inappropriate swimwear. Our frickin' embassy removed July 4th celebration out of respect for Islam overseas. And the New York Times whines about our badass SEAL Team 6 killing terrorists, while in the same breath they praise Bruce Jenner morphing into Caitlyn Jenner as courageous. But Chris Kyle, well, he's not a hero. He's insane. And it's that kind of rhetoric that is it's deadly. And that's why Trump's appealing and Hillary Clinton's appalling. And I'll throw Obama especially into that category as well. And America's sick of the nonsense, man. And Trump's saying that we're going to come in there and stomp them like a narc at a biker party. We're going to eradicate ISIS. We're going to make the sand glow over there is expressing the sentiments that that Americans love. And you can see when he goes there during his political rallies, they go nuts. And there's stadiums filled with tens of thousands of people with Hillary's pussification that I outline in my book. She draws, you know, smatterings of 200, 600 pantsuited women and the pussies that follow her.
Yeah, and most of them are a bunch of political hacks. But, I mean, you hit it right on the head with regard to Trump. I mean, that's his appeal is that he's kind of reminding us of who we are, you know. I mean, he's making us want to get back to being Americans, individuals with, you know, sort of a swashbuckling attitude, you know, people who pull ourselves up in the bootstraps and make something out of our lives. And, you know, he's an old-fashioned alpha male. You know, he's the kind of guy that reminds me of my old uncles when I was growing up. You know, you don't see those guys anymore. A lot of them have passed away. You know, he doesn't sit around and talk in vagaries and euphemisms and sophistries and, you know, all this indirection that the left actually has practically invented a whole language around. He doesn't use dog whistles. He says it. He doesn't have other people go out and do his dirty work either. He does it himself. You know, he gets in the mud, he puts on his boots, and he strides into the, you know, to the Augean stables, and he shovels out the crap. You know, it's like, to my way of thinking, that has everything to do with his appeal. And it's something that, I mean, I haven't seen this in modern politics. I mean, I'm amazed by what he's doing.
Yeah, and the GOP, that's why the 16 or 17 who went toe-to-toe with him during the primary, that's why they got dusted. Because they're still testing the wind, they're still seeker sensitive, they're pussified, they care what the policy wonks inside the Beltway, what they want said and how it said. And of those 16, the majority of them have led us to this dilapidated place here in the United States, and Trump's a threat to that. And when somebody really lives like I define in my book, Pussification, in the rarefied air, the testosterone leader fog, where they're a provider, protector, hunter, and hero, they are a threat to the stale cows and the idols of the machine. And again, that's why Trump's appealing, and that's why god-awful, crazy-eyed, nap-taking, pantsuit-wearing Hillary is appalling.
You know, you talk about four signs you've been pussified. And when I see that, it makes me realize that to a certain extent, we've all been pussified. And this, your book and, you know, listening to Trump and other things are kind of helping us debug ourselves from this, you know, from decades of stuff that's been dumped out there that's become accepted as received wisdom. And so, you know, it's kind of a wake-up call for all of us, men and women as well. What are the four signs that you've been pussified?
Yeah, one of the main signs that somebody's been pussified, and a lot of people think my book, you know, is just kind of cheeky stuff about exterior symptoms like skinny jeans and deep V-neck T-shirts for men and wearing more bangles than a new bangy warrior and sporting a hair bun or a lumberjack beard and you don't know how to swing an axe. But in my book, I go deeper than that. I have a lot of fun with those those symptoms, but the problem's way deeper, like you said, Chuck. And it's been ongoing for frickin' decades to where pretty much everybody and their dog that sports a penis, and girls can be pussified also, are imbued with these difficult, emasculating traits to get rid of. And the first one is if especially if you're in your 20s, if you got any listeners, especially the dudes, if you're in your 20s and you're not paying for most, if not all of your crap, then you know what you are? Well, if you guessed a pussy, you guessed right. To me, the fact, Chuck, that we've got young people depend in their 20s depending on mommy and Obama extended, you know, coverage and till everybody's 26. Why not bump it to 46 or 56 while you're at it, Obama? It's just, again, part and parcel and emblematic of our aggravated state of pussification. Bro, I was on my own with a kid on my way, or kid on the way when I was 25. I owned my own business when I was 22. And when I was 23, I did $600,000 in sales. I've been working since I was 9 years old with my brother who had a paper route, and then us mowing lawns and painting houses and doing all kinds of other crap. But you look at Generation Pussy, they're living off mommy's humongous tit of entitlement or the government, and they're not providers. So one of the main signs, bro, that a young 20-something male has been pussified is that he's not a provider. And you can see clearly how that strikes at the, you know, the real big muscled up guy who thinks he's a badass, got all the tattoos and the earrings, but he still lives with mommy in his 20s. How quaint, mm-hmm. How sweet, how pussified.
Yeah, and I think that our society, our political structure wants to encourage that. They want to encourage work, you know, dependency.
I've been to Africa, I think, 21 times now. I hunt over there and do speaking engagements and from Cape Town to Johannesburg and up in Zimbabwe and all those other places. And part of some of the African cultures in there, they don't do it so much now that they've been encroached upon and ruined by basically white people. back in the day, man, when you turned 12, you know what they did? They plucked you away from mommy's skirt, and you started hanging out with the boys. You got a new funky porcupine necklace. You got a coconut helmet. They put these weird bands around you, smeared blood on you, and turned you into a warrior, and you never went back to mommy again. And, Chuck, that was at 12 years of age. That's not 18.
Right.
It's not freaking 21. They never returned to mom. It was a live-or-die venture. And if they lived, they came back as a provider, a protector, and a hunter, and a hero. And if they died, then, well, that's just part of the way nature takes care of the weak.
You know, what you're describing, of course, is a very stark example of what used to happen in all societies, including our societies, where young men would be masculinized at an early age by older men. They would get together. They would, you know, there was often a ritual. That's what, in Judaism, that's what the bar mitzvah was supposed to be all about. You know, every society has a version of this. We become a man in the community. It usually happens around the age of 13, 12. And that you're expected to start to provide for the family. You're expected to act like a man. And, it's a process that's learned. It's not a process that's necessarily inherent. And I think that that's become somewhat short-circuited and deliberately so by a society that, I guess, is pussifying us.
Yeah. And that's why I argue heavily that if you're the parent of that that XY chromosome, then one of the best things you could do is get that little kid, whether you have a farm or any kind of ranch land at all, get him into farming and hunting. And like you said, back in antiquity, you know, everybody else was a farmer, a hunter, gatherer. You had the agrarian culture that made you frickin' grow up real quick and lend a hand to help the family. Nowadays, you've got multi-layers of people in urban areas and suburbs where everything's prim and proper and dainty, and the kids aren't required to do anything but sit there and stare at their damn iPad, you know, during dinner. And back in the day, that kind of BS didn't happen. Like my my oldest daughter, who destroyed Acorn with her nation-shaking undercover videos, they have they have a 100-acre farm where my year-and-a-half-old grandson is already helping as much as that little rascal can with the chores. He's around hogs, he's around goats, he's around cattle, he's around thousands of chickens. And he's not sitting there, you know, staring at an iPad or staring at some stupid-ass television. And I guarantee by the time that kid, Chuck, turns 10, he's more of a man and more accomplished than most 18-year-old punks sitting there taking notes during Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
No, I mean, this is sort of, I mean, putting aside whether we can all become farmers or you know, hunters, you know, people could do like you did, like I did for that matter, and start to work at maybe the age 11, you know, doing a paper route, doing gardening.
Yep.
I mean, I did all sorts of work. I wanted to have my own money and my own thing. And, you know, I didn't, I began to really think about, it made me think about my, what I wanted to do and, you know, and how I get there. So, you know, this is something that I think is discouraged.
Right. I mean, the entrepreneur spirit, you know, that's another, to me, that's another form of quote unquote hunting and farming. You know, what's that idea? What's that vision? What's that dream? What's the holy grail that's, you know, that you want to chase and pursue? Well, go get it. You know, it ain't going to be handed to you. It's not going to be easy. But, oh, my God, when you achieve it, you know, it's something else. And I remember my dad, bro, I don't know how you grew up, but, you know, we grew up middle class, West Texas town. And my parents never disparaged wealthy people. Matter of fact, I remember my dad would take me on drives, man, and he would show me the big houses. And he would say, if you worked your ass off, you know, not that that's the end all be all, but you too could succeed and prosper. And I'm sitting on several acres right now and about 5,000 square feet with little to no debt. And it all came from following my old man's advice of getting off my ass and making things happen.
All right. My guest is Doug Giles. He's the founder and editor of ClashDaily.com. He's the author of Pussification, the Effeminization of the American Male. Doug, what do you say to men who identify themselves as gay?
Well, I would say that if they identify themselves as gay, that if you're going to be gay, at least be a man about it. That's what I would say. I mean, you know, I'm not out to save anybody's soul. I'm not out to do any of that. That's Jesus and Moses's job. My goal is that, you know, even though you might choose a different plumbing than I do for sexual relationships, is that the effeminate stuff, I mean, talking like a girl, I mean, that's just bizarre. And I don't get it. And you look at gay guys like Rob Halford, who's the guy, you know who Rob Halford is, don't you?
Actually, I don't.
Yeah, he's the lead singer of Judas Priest. I mean, I used to be a big Judas Priest metalhead, still am. And I didn't even know the guy was gay until like 30 years, you know, later, after going to multiple Judas Priest concerts, you know, all of a sudden, you know, hey, Halford's gay. But having a beer with Rob Halford and hanging out, smoking a cigar, doing something like that, to me, it's easier for me as a dude because there isn't so much of the sassy stuff. You know what I'm talking about? Sure.
No, he's very comfortable with his manhood. Yeah.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny, man? 10 years ago, I got written up by the high priest of the Church of Satan, the media spokesperson, the guy who took Anton LaVey's daughter's place. Guy's a homosexual, and he was commenting upon my comments about the pussification of the American male, and I was like, well, this is going to be interesting. The guy completely raved, and he was a gay man. He was into hunting. He thought masculinity had been completely, what's the word I'm looking for, effeminized. There you go. He thought that it had been watered down to where it was just a disgusting level, and guys weren't guys anymore. So I take my cue from Willem Dafoe's figure, Chuck, and Boondock Saints, after he was playing a gay man, and after an amorous scene in that epic movie, his gay lover asked him if he could snuggle, and he said, no, quit being a pussy.
No, I mean, look, at it. There's the other little undertone of the culture, which is that there's indications that a lot of gay people are supporting Trump. And, of course, the gay establishment is absolutely showing their fascist tendencies by totally suppressing
attacking
people.
Supporting. Like, if I was gay, I'm not, even though I like Kate Hudson movies. But if I was gay, I would support Trump. Because you know why? He's the only one putting a moratorium on radical Muslims coming into our country that wants to kill gay people. Hillary, on the other hand.
They might have forgotten about Orlando. You know, people, suddenly that's like under the water. That's
right. And Hillary on the other hand, and Obama, they talk about how they love the homosexual constituency. In the meantime, they want to import 110,000 of them from Syria by 2017.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's,
exactly.
You know, hey, I really like gay
people,
but let's bring in, you know, these executioners from Islamic lands where they behead you or throw you off a building if you're a homosexual. Christians don't do that. Americans don't do that. We believe this is the land of opportunity. And, bro, I ain't got any problem with anything an adult does personally, as long as it doesn't cost me money and as long as you don't do it to a kid.
Although we just have an example in the news today from a someone who on the surface is certainly pussified, but maybe underneath might be a radical Islamist, and that is the mayor of London, who spoke about such things as bombings and beheadings and knifings as just part of living in the big city. We might as well get used to that. You know, that's just the way it goes. And
talk
about it.
Inundated with political correctness, inundated with pussification. And that's why my book, I think it's a very important tide changer, because, man, that stuff is deadly. You look at what happened to Angela Merkel and the devastation that she's starting to feel with the elections over there in Germany, and how she's on everybody's crap list. And now she's saying, oh, well, maybe I was wrong. I regret letting, 1.7 million, quote-unquote, poor refugees into Germany. You were dead wrong. And we've got an Angela Merkel running for president. She wants to do the same thing, initially on a smaller percentage. But I guarantee if that crazy chick and all of her George Soros minions could have it their way, we would be flooded, and America would be a cartoon of what she was originally intended to be.
Yeah, you know, it's a very strange agenda, and these people know full well what Islam's all about, and the element within the Islamic community that's religious. Tony Blair did the same thing to England, and that's why they just had Brexit. So, I mean, I think that individuals are waking up to these sorts of movements that seek to turn nations into basically provinces of the world and turn us all into like a gigantic ant colony. You know, this is I think that's a lot of what's going on with Trump. And I know that the guy that really masterminded Brexit, Nigel Farage, actually spoke with Trump in Dallas. And and gave a presentation, and I think that he made the point that this is America's time. We have to reassert our sovereignty. We have to reassert our democratic rights, and not let this kind of vague move toward world order continue, because we're going to lose our freedoms. We're going to lose our control of our own lives.
Well, if America goes down, the whole planet's screwed. And that's why, you know, through the pussification, that's why the softening and the dulling down of the American mind and its the steel will that made us this great experiment in self-governance is on steroids right now by the left, because we're literally the only thing that stands in the way from their global wet dream. And it's the individual American freedom-based liberty movement that's keeping that alive and well. And it happens to be concentrated in a blonde comb-over candidate named Donald Trump, who's echoing the sentiments of millions and millions of people. He shattered, Chuck, every frickin' record in regards to primaries, turnouts, and everything else. And you know what? The left and the right are losing their mind. And I think it's funny, especially for those on the right, because a lot of them who aren't backing Trump, they've always said for years, I wish we could get somebody in there, Chuck, who's not a politician, who's not part of the system in D.C. Well, there you go, man. We've got an ass-kicking multi-billionaire who's he might not be the perfect candidate. I don't know what is. I know we've had a whole glut of imperfect ones since I've been alive, but he's sure resonating with America. And, bro, I will give that guy a chance if because we definitely had some failures.
No, he represents what's best in America. He's a businessman. He's an entrepreneur. He's a very successful one. And I, as a businessman, look to that as heroic. You know,
right. In America, at the end of the day,
that's what we are, a nation of businessmen.
It's an enterprise, and you can't have somebody who's been signing government checks on the back forever, who can put us on our economic feet again. You can with a guy like Trump. I thought if Romney would gotten the White House, he could have done it, because again, he's rolled in that kind of dough, and he knows how to handle that kind of cash and those kind of competitions that we face with other nations.
Nice.
And this is I tell you, Trump's going to lose me if he rolls up in the fetal position during the debates, because that's what Romney did. He had Obama on the ropes on the first debate. Benghazi was handed to him on a platter. He could have hammered them with their lies about the video, and he went soft based on John McCain's campaign manager telling him to not attack Obama in the second and third, and it was over. Absolutely over.
Exactly. He just was too nice, and he was playing in a field where the left is, they'll do anything. You know, they're all about power. They play however they need to. Now, you say here, Doug, dear Christian, you might be a pussy, but Jesus ain't. Tell me about it.
Yeah, again, just like everything in our culture has been pussified, unfortunately, the Christian church has, and I'll throw both Catholics and Protestant into that blender and hit flopé. The Jesus of the Bible, if somebody just takes a cursory glance at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that guy was a 30-year-old angry rebel who pissed off politicians and self-righteous people, and he was an equal opportunity offender. And I try to let people know that, you know, just because a Christian doesn't mean you're to be going around with a wink in your eye and you're constantly okay with everything. And if something drew his ire, man, you better get ready, friend or foe, you're going to get one between the eyes. And we've lost that in the church, man. Now Jesus is a bearded lady from a feminine hygiene commercial who spits out aphorisms like an over-medicated Garrison Keillor, and it has nothing to do with the Christ of the Scripture.
Oh, no, no. They've completely hijacked the church with their change agents and their zombified congregants. You say here, four musts for males to move from Pussyville to Mantown.
Yeah. The first one is that if you're really serious about leaving Pussyville to go into the rarefied air of Mantown, first of all, for those who are listening who are in Pussyville and you're not a provider, protector, hunter, and hero, the climb up to Mantown is exactly that. It's a climb. you're in a swamp right now, and it's going to be hard for your little weak legs to make it to the mystical city of Mantown. But for those who want to climb out of Pussville, first thing you got to do, man, you got to hang around badasses. And what I mean by that, people who are accomplished, people spiritually, physically, monetarily, they've slayed their dragon, they've saved their nation. You got to hang around them because that stuff is caught, not so much taught. And their indomitable spirit and wisdom will jump off on you if you just hang out with them. But here's the rub, Chuck, is that most people who are accomplished, they're not looking to hang out with a pussy. So you're going to have to force your way into that relationship, which might be met with resistance. You might have to pay them money for their mentorship. But if you're serious about moving out of that daft, dank basement of Pussville where mommy's breastfeeding you up into your midlife crisis, then you got to hang out, number one, with badasses. And then number two, bro, if they start hanging out with the badasses, then here's my recommendation. Shut your mouth and listen. You're a moron. They're not. You pretty much don't have anything to add to the equation if you're the citizen of Pussville. They're in Mantown. You need to listen to what they tell you. And I was watching this SEAL team video yesterday, and they're talking about the main thing that destroys great Navy SEAL leaders, and the main problem that they offered up was ego, the inability to listen and take criticism and rebuke. And that's another road from Pussville to Mantown is being teachable.
You know, at the beginning of the interview, I mentioned that you said that the radical Islamists are pussified, and I say that thinking about it now because I think they are. You know, anyone who goes out and drops.
Yeah. Anybody who carries his little backpack and drops a pressure cooker to a restaurant on Chelsea Street, they're not the Saladin warriors of the Crusades. That's for sure. They're little
Twitter guys in the
type guys.
They dropped that pressure cooker bomb behind a 9-year-old boy and blew him to smithereens. That's not manly. You know?
No,
that's,
it's disgusting.
You know, manliness goes with a certain sense of morality, a certain sense that you're defending good and defeating evil.
Yeah, but you got to understand Chuck, their prophet is cool with decimating children, women, children.
Yeah.
They don't care. They're infidels, so they see them as enemies and combatants as well. And that's why, you know, we've got to end this pussification, easy speak process with dealing with militant Islam and frickin' wipe them off the map, convert them to Christianity or something, and then destroy the rest.
Now, either that or they have to understand that, if they want to run these putrid societies, and as sad as that is, that's their business. But they better not mess with us, or else we're going to meet them in the field of battle, and we're going to annihilate them.
Yeah, look at England. Here they embraced them in the late 70s, and they thought it was so groovy to be multicultural and all yummy and stuff. And then they got on the government dole, and then more and more came from Pakistan. And then they started bringing in the radical clerics. And then the next thing you know, in London, and I think, at least a dozen different enclaves, they now have Sharia courts, that there's crap all that the British government and their judicial systems can say within these various radicalized enclaves. And that's the same crap that they plan on doing here. And I hope we look across the pond and get a big object lesson, because their diminished will and their thinning of skin and radical Islam multiplying like rabbits on Viagra, I'm telling you, man, it's just a matter of time, because their birth rates are so low and Islam is so high and they can have multiple wives before they tip the demographic scale. When they do, it's adios muchachos when it comes to Europe.
Yeah, I mean, we should take a lesson from that. And, I've said to people, what's going on in Europe now, that's going to start happening here. And I've been the answer from people I know has been that I'm a bigot, you know. But unfortunately and sadly, I'm right, because it is happening here. It happened here 2 days ago. Anyway, Doug Giles is my guest. He's the founder and editor of FlashDaily.com. Doug, your book, Pussification, the Feminization of the American Male, where can people get it?
Amazon's the easiest place, man. Pussification, the Feminization of the American Male on Amazon. And Chuck, it went to number one in gender studies, which makes me giddy.
Oh, that's amazing. That's excellent. Doug,
yeah.
Listen, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. I really appreciate
it. You bet.
It.
Thanks, Chuck. Stay rowdy, buddy.
All right. Take care. Okay, so that's Doug Giles. He is, again, the author of Pussification, the Feminization of the American Male. I just want to take a brief minute to mention that my books are available. Why not? I'm the host, so I can mention. At Amazon or Amazon Kindle, just put my name in the server, Chuck Morse, M-O-R-S-E, and up they come. I've got almost a dozen books, some published, some self-published, my latest book being Communism is Not Dead, The Communist Conspiracy in the 21st Century. Anyway, I want to thank everyone for listening this afternoon, and I shall return sometime next week with my weekly podcast. Thanks so much. Have a good day, everybody.